WrestlingGuide.com.
Once again, whether you like it or not, this is Wrestling Guide Radio here on WrestlingGuide.com. As always, I am Dirt, your host from the video game Losers at VGLosers.com, bringing you your Wrestling Guide Radio look at Monday Night Raw. And for once, Monday Night Raw is not an atrocious disaster. It was actually fairly decent. Had some good moments. By no means is it better than SmackDown. I'm just going to come out and say it right now. If you are watching Raw out of loyalty and not watching SmackDown because it's not your routine, change your routine right now. Because SmackDown is smoking Raw on just about every level you can think of. As a matter of fact, I'm seriously considering doing a second Wrestling Guide Radio podcast, taking a look at SmackDown every week. Maybe this will be Wrestling Guide Radio Red, and that'll be Wrestling Guide Radio Blue. I don't know. But later in the week is definitely better for wrestling, as superstars, they've been going short on promos, not a lot of vignettes, anything like that, just matches, lots of wrestling, and then Friday Night SmackDown is tremendous. My hope is I can get the Canadian feed, I'm working on that, getting the Canadian feed of SmackDown on Thursday nights, so I can go ahead and do that recap on Friday. You can watch it, you can listen to it, you know, right after you watch SmackDown, during SmackDown, before SmackDown, I don't know, whatever. But anyway, that's the plan for the time being. So, let us get to our recap of Monday Night Raw, which, as again, by no means fantastic, but it was not atrocious. Show opened with Randy Orton and Legacy on the ramp to cut a promo. The first line out of Randy Orton's mouth was something along the lines of, the McMahons pride themselves on listening to you, the fans. And I just about lost it right there. I mean, there's so much humor in the fact that he would say that, especially opening Raw. He's one heck of a worker, tell you that much, and he's pretty much cemented his spot in WWE. I don't think he's got any problems holding on to his job with the way he's doing. Basically, he came out, he said the fans don't stand up for themselves, they get walked on, they just take it. He said he's not going to take it anymore. He showed the video package of him destroying Shane McMahon last week. When they came back from the video package, miraculously, all three members of Legacy had been transported from the stage to the ring. I would have liked to have seen the Star Trek technology working on Monday Night Raw, but instead they did it during the video segment, so you didn't get to see it, which is a shame. But once in the ring, he basically said that there's the no-touching clause that Vicky Guerrero put into place so that he and Batista cannot fight before Judgment Day, but there's nothing that says they can't talk, so he called out Batista. So Batista, who was backstage and planning on doing whatever in the main event tonight, just happened to be in his gear, because I guess if you're going to be hanging out somewhere, you're just going to go ahead and put on your vinyl underwear and hang out backstage. So he was called out. He walks out to the ring. Basically, Orton lays out that he should be the next member of Legacy. He reminds them how powerful they were in Evolution. He basically says that they have the ability to surpass Evolution. They can surpass the Four Horsemen. They can surpass DX. They can basically become the best heel group in all of wrestling. Basically saying that he wants Batista to be his Arn Anderson. Now, here's a problem. I understand that the Four Horsemen, for, you know, 99% of their time on TV was as a heel group. I do believe the last time they came back in WCW, they were looked at as faces. Just briefly, though. It was, you know, WCW in those days, it was probably, you know, 2 weeks, but still. But Arn Anderson is a guy that somebody looks up to. He's one of those guys that is touted as a legend. He's sold as being so knowledgeable and so friendly and nice and such a good wrestler. Orton called on Ric Flair, talking about his position in the Four Horsemen. So basically, called on two people that the fans like and said, that's who we need to be. And it kind of put everybody in this weird position. You could hear the crowd because they're like, oh, yeah, Ric Flair, woo. Oh, wait a minute. You guys would be a bad guy team. I understand what Orton was trying to do, but whoever wrote that just needs to pay attention to what happens with fans outside the ring, as well as some of the storylines that are going on in the ring, because that just really didn't work out. But Batista said no, he was not going to join the team because he hates Orton. In fact, no, he despises Orton. No, that's not good enough. He loathes Orton. He said it in that diarrhea voice. And so basically, Batista goes, you know what, Vicky Guerrero is not going to get rid of the Judgment Day main event, so I'm just going to beat the crap out of you now, and there's nothing really anybody can do about it. So at this point, Vicky Guerrero came out, and she starts cutting her promo. And, gosh, does she get heat. Like, she's just fantastic. I worked as a manager in several indie feds, mostly with New Midwest Wrestling in Springfield, Illinois. In New Midwest, I was made president of the company in storyline for a while. I was all about going out there getting cheap heat, you know, doing whatever. But, man, Vicky Guerrero is so good. You would never have expected, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was, when she first started coming out and doing these shows, that she would get the level of heat that she gets today, and it's fantastic. I'm just blown away by that. She still doesn't deliver her scripted lines very well, but just when she comes out, I just start to smile because I know the crowd's going to get into, you know, whatever happens to be going on at that time. Basically, Vicky said, I don't care if you guys beat the crap out of each other, you're still going to have a title match at Judgment Day. And then she thought about it for a minute. She goes, you know what? We're going to have Batista versus Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase tonight. If Batista wins, he's going to get his title shot with Orton. If Rhodes and DiBiase win, then it's going to be a 3-on-1 match with Orton versus DiBiase tonight. Or, I'm sorry, with Orton versus Batista tonight. 3-on-1, Legacy versus Batista. I don't even know what I'm talking about either. It's they threw in a stipulation match at the last minute to set up for a main event that may or may not take the place of the pay-per-view main event coming to Judgment Day. You got all that? All right, let's move on. So they went to a commercial, they came back, and Batista was beating up on DiBiase and Rhodes. They clipped his leg. Dave made his comeback, but he was still selling the leg, so he kind of looked kind of stupid. But Rhodes grabbed a chair, Batista grabbed it, and the referee called for a DQ. So it will be a 3-on-1 match in the main event. I don't know why they didn't just say, hey, do a 3-on-1 match, why they had to throw in this extra time killer on there instead of putting some other guys on the show, but you do what you got to do, I guess. They had one of the worst women's wrestling matches of all time. Not as bad as when Candice Michelle came back and they actually edited 2 minutes out of Raw. But it was, Maryse and Jillian Hall versus Kelly and Mickey. Again, I watched this. Kelly is terrible. She looked awful tonight. She looked like she had not wrestled a match in 4 months. And let's face it, ring rust on someone like Kelly is going to look just atrocious. But here, Jillian is decent. I mean, she's solid. Her gimmick is kind of silly, but she plays it the best she can. She puts her heart into that being a terrible singer, making fun of Brooke Hogan, which is fine, you know, whatever. But they need to do something to elevate her and put her against Mickie James in a feud. That would be awesome. I would watch that. That would be great. But Maryse just doesn't do it for me. And Kelly looked terrible. Jillian did have this mistimed move here, but she was with Kelly at the time. So I'm going to blame that on Kelly because she was looking terrible all night. I don't even remember how bad it was. What happened? Mickey ended up pinning Maryse. And that was second week in a row that Mickey pinned Maryse. So I'm sure somehow at the pay-per-view, Maryse is going to turn around and beat Mickey by cheating or something and retain the Divas title, and still no one's going to care. Josh was backstage interviewing Orton, Josh Matthews, and they were talking about the 3-on-1 match, and DiBiase basically ran in and goes, Cody is gone! And they both went, and then they set off to find Cody Rhodes, because they figured Batista must have taken him out. They showed Chavo meeting with Vicky, and he said he suggested the Cena match last week, and It's going to be an exhibition match, and Vicky could see if Cena will be good enough to compete, and she said it's a great idea. And so Cena is going to wrestle The Miz tonight, and that's going to be Cena's match, the opportunity to show that he can wrestle after being thrown through the spotlight 2 weeks ago. Cole and Lawler were standing in the ring doing a hard sell on Judgment Day. I mean, they were plugging this thing like it was WrestleMania 2 or WrestleMania 25 Part 2, whatever. They were really pushing it hard. So the WWE financial numbers came out. They were looking at the pay-per-view buys and the ratings, and I'm sure Vince started to freak out. The quarterly numbers are going to look weird if you happen to look at the numbers. WrestleMania fell into the first quarter last year. It's in the second quarter this year. So if you just match up dollar to dollar, it's going to look like they really lost out on, $30 million or something crazy like that. But the reality is because WrestleMania shifted from one quarter to the other. Because of that, it throws off the numbers a little bit. So you have to kind of break down and look a little further. And when you look into the pay-per-view buys, and some of the merchandising and things like that, they are being hurt kind of by the economy. But the economy is also kind of reflecting the fact that people are just kind of, they're tired of WWE's product. They want something new and something different. And so Cole and Lawler were really out there pushing the pay-per-view in the ring. They went backstage, and Orton and DiBiase were splitting up to find Cody. Orton ran into him, and Cody Rhodes said that, he was just hanging out backstage. He was talking to somebody, no big deal. He's like, all right, well, let's go back and grab DiBiase. So as they're walking back to get DiBiase, someone runs by going that they were going to go get the doctor. And they found DiBiase laid out, apparently attacked by Batista. So good for Batista, I guess. I don't know. They did Carlito versus the Brian Kendrick. Brian Kendrick requested the rematch. This match lasted, 10 seconds. Carlito shoved him off, went for the backcracker, but Kendrick shoved him into the, I think it was the ring post, and just went straight roll up for the pin, got it 1-2-3. So it was very quick. Their match the week before was pretty quick, so this match was pretty quick also, but this one in the Brian Kendrick's favor. He said that he was going to find the partner and start a new tag team, and he was going to win those tag team belts. So good for the Brian Kendrick. I hope they actually have something worked out with him. I can tell you right now that his partner will not be Paul London. Paul London left WWE. He was released for whatever reason. I don't know if he asked for it or what happened, but Paul London left, and he did interviews saying he would never go back. He hated WWE. He thought Vince McMahon was an idiot. On and on and on. So that's not going to be his partner. I'm not sure who it is, but next they had the exhibition match with Cena versus Miz, and Big Show came out to watch. Both guys basically are going to wrestle until Vicky Guerrero determines whether or not Cena can compete at the pay-per-view. Miz cut a promo before the match saying that since this match is not 12 rounds, which means people are actually going to watch it, and The Miz is going to win because I am awesome, he says. Okay. Whatever. Good for The Miz. Cena was out wrestling him early. He was just staying on top of him, just getting the heat. Cena actually got a huge pop when he came out. All the Cena haters out there that, only little kids and ladies enjoy Cena or cheer for Cena. Well, then this whole arena must have been 12-year-old girls because the place erupted when he came out. But Cena, Miz was working on Cena's ribs, so Cena was hurt for a while, started to make his comeback, was about to hit the attitude adjuster, and Vicky stopped the match and said, obviously, Cena cannot compete with Big Show. And Cena was like, what? Turned around, and Miz hit the DDT. Miz proclaimed himself 3-0. So Show just kind of laughed and looked at Cena and walked away. So as far as proving anything or really adding any heat to that storyline, not tonight. Let's see. They went backstage, and Cody was trying to convince Orton that they needed to take out Batista before he took anyone else out. Orton agreed. Basically told Cody it was time for him to prove himself. So he said, you go take out Batista and show me how good you are. And so, you know, Rhodes was just kind of like, oh, I guess, whatever. Vicky met with Santina, asking if it was true that that Santina had called her a pig last week, made pig noises, and Santina said, of course not, that was my brother, I'm a girl. Rosa and Beth Phoenix were backstage and basically said that, you know, that of course we know that it's a dude. Chavo said, we know you're Santino, I'm going to prove it. He wanted Beth and Rosa to give Santina a good luck kiss. You know, Santina basically just hornballed out and started making out with Rosa. And of course, Beth Phoenix was appalled that her boyfriend or ex-boyfriend or strange boyfriend or whatever was making out with the help girl. But they started going nuts, and Chavo said this was proof that it's really Santino, and tried to grab his wig, and Santina goes, no, 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 the truth is I'm a lesbian. Called Vicky a pig, started making the snorting, oinking noises, squealing like a pig, and they showed the announcers at the announce table going, ha, 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 and everybody in the crowd going, meh, yeah, okay, whatever. The segment was all right. I mean, it was funny, but it was not to the level of some of the other stuff. And the pig noise thing was just kind of like, oh, yeah, swine flu. People died from that, didn't they? So, you know, I mean, the writers just need to watch the jokes that they're doing, because it was really just kind of like, eh, yeah, dead people in Mexico. That's not really, yeah, funny. Well, whatever. Can't really blame Santino a whole lot for that, because he's just working with the garbage he'd been given. But, you know, by no means was I happy about that segment as being one of the greatest Santino segments or anything like that. Not like what we've seen before. Batista found Cody Rhodes backstage and beat the crap out of him. So, no legacy tonight. It'll just be one-on-one, Orton versus Batista, because Batista took him out. I would have been much happier if they had done... There was an angle in, I want to say, 2000, 2001... Triple H won the title belt from The Rock, and The Rock desperately wanted him back, and so they showed all night The Rock stalking DX, and here and there he would take a guy out. And one of the key scenes I remember is they were sitting in their dressing room talking about how they'd beat The Rock and taking care of The Rock, whatever, and as they got up to leave, you saw The Rock walk out of the shadows behind him. Like, he had been standing there the whole time, and you couldn't see him on TV because of the lighting. But then he just kind of took a couple steps forward into the light. You could tell that he'd been there watching. I really wish they'd done that tonight. That would have been perfect. If they had not done any of the, you know, match to open the show where he's got to win, and then, you know, maybe it'll be one-on-one, maybe it'll be three-on-one. If they just said, it's going to be a handicap match tonight, and they just showed Batista stalking the three of them backstage, and one of them would stop to get a drink from, you know, the food table, and one of them would stop to hit on Kelly, you know, and then they'd turn around to go back to him, and the dude is just gone. They find him later, laid out somewhere. That would have been awesome. That storytelling. WWE talks about, we're sports entertainment. We make little movies. Well, make them, because, you know, you're making Behind Enemy Lines 3 instead of something that people actually want to watch is the biggest problem with the sports entertainment storytelling. Anyway, they had Santina versus Beth in a match, and the crowd, of course, is cheering for Santina. Basically, the match started, and they didn't want Santino as a guy to be beating up on Beth as a girl, because everyone knows that it's, you know, a dude in drag. So Santino basically just took all of Beth's moves, didn't really fight back, and it was just kind of boring. You're just like, whatever, you know. These little comedy spots of him trying to get away and sneak out and whatever. And basically, Santino finally hit the small package and got the pin. Beth looked like she was on the verge of tears, like, you know, oh my gosh, I can't believe I keep losing to this clown. This is my boyfriend and whatever. And just not a good segment. Not at all interesting, like when Santino tied his arm behind his back and was wrestling with one arm. That was more interesting what they gave him to work with here tonight. Josh was backstage with John Cena, basically saying, Cena, you know, how do you think you can compete on Sunday? You have all these injuries. And Cena said, you know, hey, life is tough, but this is the United States. He was going to go out there. He was going to win. There was nothing they were going to do to stop him from being there on Sunday. He was going to compete. He would overcome. It was basically a good promo from Cena. I thought this was pulled off rather well. Considering how scripted it was, I kind of get the feeling that they scripted it, and at one point he just kind of walked away from the script, was just like, you know what, I'm on live TV, what are you going to do, and I'm your, you know, top dollar merchandise guy, so he just kind of went off and started doing his thing, and it was actually enjoyable. It was a good promo. But unfortunately, they then went to another promo. They went right into MVP doing the VIP lounge. I don't have a problem with MVP. I like MVP. I'm not a big fan of the MVP lounge and these in-ring kind of interview skit things because I would just rather, if they were going to do something like that, I'd rather they have a set somewhere and they take it out of the ring, because when you're in the ring, you just expect it to go to a match, to go to something more physical. And then when it does, you're like, oh, well, it's just the guys fighting in the ring. When they do it, you know, on a set up on the stage or backstage or whatever, then you're like, hey, there's a concrete floor there. It's a little more interesting. But here, you know, you punch a guy, he falls down. It's like punching him in a match, and it doesn't really add the heat that I think they really look for. But anyway, they did the lounge. He called out Regal, said he was boring, said that Regal sucks. You know, Matt Hardy then came out, said everyone was fighting. He had something to say. He'd been forced to wrestle with a broken hand. He deserved the first U.S. title shot. Chavo came out, said it was going to be Hardy and Regal in a tag match versus Kofi and MVP. You know, they just went into this match, and it was just, they gave them a fair amount of time, and it was fine for what it was, but again, it just kind of started out kind of weak, so I can't really say I was into it, but I think once they actually started the match and got into it, it was fine. MVP hit Regal with the playmate, got the pin. It's a bad move. I don't know why he does it. It's just kind of a silly looking move, but he did it. He got the pin, and it's great. He got to use his finisher. He's pretty new on Raw, so he got to use it, got to show it off, got to get a win. So that's definitely a bonus for MVP, but it puts him right there, still stuck in the mid-card instead of moving up where he should be going. Orton came out all by himself saying Batista made his point, but there's no good reason we should fight 6 days before our match. Dave came out and basically was ready to fight, so Randy tried to run away. But Dave just beat the crap out of him. He finally got a chair, started hitting him with it, got the DQ. So they went for another screwed up finish. He brought the steps in the ring and was basically teasing like he was going to break his ankles like he did to Shane McMahon the week before. So Rhodes and Ted DiBiase came out. They basically recovered just in time to come out and make the save here. But Batista basically destroyed them all, and Orton ran up the ramps and he chucked the steps at him, and that's how they ended the show. So I guess they wanted to get people the idea that, you know, Batista really was a force to be reckoned with and could beat these guys up, but I mean, I don't know. Just having another non-finish in the match just seemed really weak, and it really didn't sell me on the pay-per-view. It really didn't sell me on Raw, but again, Raw wasn't terrible. You know, we talked about leading up to WrestleMania, a lot of the Raws were not bad, but they just didn't sell you like WrestleMania was something important that you had to worry about. And that's kind of what we saw going on here. But so anyway, thanks for listening to the show. That's your wrap-up on Raw. We're going to see if we can get that Canadian feed for SmackDown on Thursday night, so we can do a recap Thursday night or Friday morning. But of course, if we cannot get that, we'll just be watching it Friday night with everybody else, and we'll get you that recap sometime over the weekend. So I want to thank you guys for listening. Again, this is Wrestling Guide Radio at WrestlingGuide.com, and I'll see you guys next week.